As the easily transmissible BA5 COVID variant spreads across the country, infectious disease specialists are raising a new concern that each new case in every patient increases that patient's risk of contracting long-haul COVID. The CDC says that about 1 in 5 people who get COVID goes on to suffer from lingering symptoms or from new ones that last 4 weeks or more after the initial onset. The list of symptoms now numbers more than 150, and those symptoms occur after patients appear to have cleared the infection. A new study out of Boston published in the online medical journal MedArchive shows that the culprit might be a protein that dwells in the body even after patients test negative. Dr. David Walt, pathologist at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, is lead author. Dr. Walt, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
And so tell us what has you... has spiked your interest, a spike protein. What do you think you found?
Well, the spike protein is that protein that sticks out from the virus. It's called the spike protein because it's these projections that give the coronavirus its appearance,
right.
This sort of corona-type appearance. This is the protein that's responsible for the virus entering the cells through the receptors in human cells. And what we found is that this spike protein lingers in the bloodstream of patients who suffer from long COVID, or at least in the majority of those patients who suffer from long COVID.
And the thinking is that why would this spike protein be there if not for some of the virus being there as well?
Well, that's exactly right, Robin. The findings suggest that there must be a persistent infection of active virus in patients who have this spike protein circulate in their bloodstream. The reason that we're confident is because the spike protein itself is very unstable and gets degraded over very short periods of time. And as a consequence, the presence of it in patients for up to 12 months after they've recovered from their active infection suggests that they must still have some reservoir of virus in their bodies.
Right. And you, again, to underscore that, you found this spike protein in the majority of the long-haul COVID patients you've studied, but not in those who fully recovered. Can you compare it to something else? Because, researchers studying Lyme disease say that those spiral bacteria can find their way to parts of the body where they're difficult to treat. What can you compare it to?
Well, all viruses obviously are different and will have some of these lingering side effects. We know, for example, even with influenza, that there are patients who have what has been termed long flu. In a previous study that we ran earlier with collaborators at Mass General, we found that in children with multi-inflammatory syndrome, this is a version of long COVID that manifests in pediatric patients after they've recovered. And these kids, what we found is that they have a reservoir of the virus in their GI tract over many months, and we can actually treat them with a drug that is able to inhibit the transport of this spike protein into their bloodstream. And those patients oftentimes respond very well once we do that. So that's indicative of an active infection in these patients. And we think a similar kind of active infection exists in patients with long COVID.
Right, with this spike protein. So if you can treat the children who have this multi-symptom inflammatory syndrome to prevent that spike protein from getting in their bloodstream, do you think it's possible with long COVID?
Well, there may be some viral reservoir in the GI tract, which perhaps could be treated similarly. But we're just treating the symptoms in these children. I think what's going to be critical is trying to completely eliminate this viral reservoir. And that is now being discussed among the infectious disease clinicians at Brigham Women's Hospital, with whom I collaborate, as well as others across the country who are now taking the results of this study and saying, hey, maybe if we can knock down the virus and the viral reservoir in these patients, we may be able to have them recover from their symptoms. And that may be using one of the readily available antiviral drugs, or it may require longer administration of these same kinds of drugs to get rid of the virus permanently.
Well, we know how many, thousands of people are hoping that you can do that. But I have another question. So, we're trying to wrap our brains around this with things we already know. And, you know, some of us are walking around with, we're told, with the polio virus. Some people, a small amount, get something called post-polio syndrome, decades after they might have had what seems like a flu-like bout with polio. Is it possible, given that you have this suspect, this spike protein, that years from now it could flare up?
Well, I think it's too early to speculate on how persistent this infection will be. It, as we reported in this paper, we measured the spike protein in patients up to 12 months after they had fully recovered from the active infection. So it could be that the reservoir is quite recalcitrant to treatment, but it's too early to say whether therapeutic intervention is not going to be successful.
Well, given that, that there's a hope that there could be a targeting of this and a treatment for it, but too early to tell. How do you feel when you look around and see that there are people who kind of feel like COVID's over and there's an attitude of, well, I'll just get sick? Knowing what you know about long COVID, what's your sense of that?
Well, I think that any way that anybody can avoid contracting the virus and being infected one time, two times, or multiple times, the more times you get infected, the higher your risk of contracting long COVID. Do whatever you can to not get sick again.
That's Dr. David Walt from Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, lead author on a new study that shows that long-haul COVID might be caused by a protein that remains in the body after infection. Dr. Walt, thank you so much.
My pleasure.